Hi everyone, thanks for being here. I'm the terrestrial biogeochemist on staff at NEON, and so I am going to talk today a little bit more broadly than just the measurements that I'm charged with designing, which basically relate to the distributed soil sampling as well as distributed sampling of plant tissues. But there's work by probably 10 or 12 of my colleagues that is within this talk, as well as input from the external scientific community as well. And part of what I wanted to do today is come back to the SSSA community after we were here 2 years ago and got some input on our design. And it has taken just about the last 2 years to get some of that input put into place, at least what we could do. So I wanted to revisit some of that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the sampling plans that, as Mike said, we're currently starting to implement at our constructed sites. And then we've just finished a phase of kind of prototyping some of the sampling designs and distributed measurements, kind of assessing the constraints on our designs. That sort of speaks to the fact that many of us as staff scientists came in and inherited designs that we then modified based on input from the community to hopefully improve them. And then also I'm going to highlight some opportunities for the community to come in and kind of do work in conjunction with NEON or leverage NEON data for more focused studies. So here's a summary of the feedback from the discussion we had 2 years ago. What we heard from folks in the audience was, we need to sample the same constituents consistently through ecosystem pools and fluxes. That made sense. That Lindsay's giving thumbs up. I think she's the one that said that. That's to say that the design that we sort of inherited had us sampling kind of nitrogen in some areas but not following it through the entire ecosystem, and then sampling phosphorus in others, for example. So we had to kind of tighten up that part of the design. There's a suggestion to, I like this, measure soil water to quantify inorganic nutrients that are indicative of ecosystem status, measure carbon in the fine and coarse fractions of soil, and then measure anions and cations individually in soil samples rather than in bulk cation exchange capacity. So we took into account that feedback and did what we could to incorporate some of it into the design. What we come up against time and time again is that, in particular for the biogeochemistry component, there are not funds allocated to do a lot of the things that we would like to do. And as someone that's done a lot of process-based work, that can be frustrating at times. But I will show you what we have now. So Mike made reference to the fact that we work from a requirements-based framework. And what that means is that instead of starting with a scientific question, which we're all trained to do, we operate with these sort of statements that we have to meet. These are our requirements. So I have some of the very high-level requirements for the terrestrial biogeochemistry design here for NEON, which are to measure changes in biogeochemical cycles, very broad, and then understand the linkages across terrestrial and aquatic systems. And so with input from a technical working group of about 12 scientists, we discussed what that means scientifically and what we want to focus on, what NEON should focus on, and came up with the interpretation that we should measure important fluxes within and across air, land, and water systems. And what you'll end up seeing is that we're not actually measuring as many fluxes distributed within the terrestrial biogeochemistry component of what we're doing, but if you look across what we're doing at the tower locations, what we're doing within the ecosystem, and then what we're doing at our aquatic observation sites, we are capturing some of those important fluxes that we will know will change under the influence of climate change and other factors that NEON is paying attention to. So that's kind of the framework that we had going into this. Here's an example of what one of our instrumented sites looks like on the ground. Mike showed you a cartoon of this. This is actually our core site, one of our 30-year observation sites, Ordway Swisher in Florida. And you can see kind of centrally located, there's a tower location here. And then distributed plots in blue, our site boundaries in pink, and then our aquatic observation sites are here. So this is an example of where we have an aquatic site that's linked up with our terrestrial observation site. And so I'm going to kind of step through the measurements that we're making at each one of these locations and kind of give you a broad brushstrokes view. And if you have further questions, we can address those in the discussion session too. So starting at the tower location and tower footprint. So this is located in the dominant vegetation type at each site. NEON is paying a lot of attention to the plant communities, and the locations of our plots are actually in a stratified random design based on the plant communities. And I'll get into that in a little bit. At our tower locations and within the tower footprint, we're taking intensive continuous measurements. So these are primarily the sensor-based measurements that we're making. And so with respect to soil, you can see at the top there, this is in the top, this is within that soil array that Mike showed. We've got plots and going down to 2 meters, unless the bedrock is shallower than that. We're doing a soil CO2 profile, and then in collaboration with the NRCS, they've come in to each one of our sites and done a large soil pit excavation, and they've done measurements of total carbon and nutrients with every horizon, and then also a bunch of physical parameters. And then we also in these locations are going to be putting in the mini rhizotrons to do root turnover and get root biomass with depth. So that's kind of characterizing the soil in that location, and then also getting temperature, water content, and the CO2 profile. And then I've got up here just so that you can kind of see some of the other measurements we're making with respect to deposition. Precipitation, we're getting amounts as well as doing the chemistry and some stable isotope analyses on those. Throughfall, we're just getting amounts at that location, sadly. I would like to be getting the chemistry there, but that is not within our scope right now. So that is an opportunity for someone to come in and do that. That would be really, really important. And then we've got a bunch of measurements associated with calculating or doing the eddy covariance calculations. So now I'm going to talk about the distributed measurements that would be those blue plot locations within the site boundary. And we've got, it depends on the size of the site and the complexity of the site, but we tend to have about 10 to 40 of those locations per site. And for those of us that are doing the distributed observations, those plots are 40 meters by 40 meters. And the way that we determine the locations are by using this reversed random quadrat recursive raster or rocker algorithm, which basically takes the site boundary, gives a grid of potential plot locations, stratifies by vegetation, community type, and then we get our actual locations, which are in that stratified random design. So they're balanced by the vegetation community, but randomized. And so the measurements that we're making in the distributed plots, again, these are the more extensive measurements at a NEON site, and they're periodic. So these are not our sensor-based measurements like we have at the tower. This requires a technician to go out in the field and take the sample and then take it back to the lab. So we just secured a contract with ARS and they're subcontracting to NRCS to go to every single one of our sites and do a soil characterization of that site boundary area. We're very excited about that. They're going to do 10 to 40 locations per site, and because of the permitting restrictions at many of our sites, those will probably be boreholes rather than large soil pits, unfortunately. But they're going to characterize the top meter of the soil. And so that'll be a one-time effort. Then we're going to measure soil carbon fractions and nutrient stocks every 10 years at 10 to 15 plots per site in the top 30 centimeters. And then finally, we're doing soil temperature, pH, and moisture manually every time a soil sample is made. We do not have funds to do sensor-based measurements for temperature and water content, unfortunately, in this part of the observatory. And then it was a bit of an argument, but I got in there the need to assess process to some degree, since we know that it's the processes occurring in the soil that we're really going to see change in 30 years. And so we're going to assess net nitrogen mineralization and net nitrification to get kind of a window in on cycling at these sites and a window in on available nitrogen. And the idea there is that I'm hoping to build relationships between these rates and other easily measurable parameters like soil C to N and foliar N. This has been done in more limited regional areas. People like Scott Olinger have done it for the northeastern U.S., and I'd like to see us do something at this broad scale with NEON. So I think that could be a really useful resource. And we're going to make those measurements every 5 years, and within that year, 3 times during the year, with the understanding that intra-annually, those rates are going to change. And then finally, we're assessing the soil microbial community and making a whole host of measurements there that I know the next speaker is going to talk a bit about as well. We've been making measurements for soil to measure the soil microbial community monthly right now, but we're going to cut that back to 3 times a year because, as you can imagine, all of that sampling in the same plots for 30 years could create a big crater. That is not our intention with NEON. And then I've just got some plant measurements up there for you to see as well, but I don't have time to go into detail right now. So just a little bit more on what our plots look like. As I mentioned, they're 40 meters by 40 meters. We had to exclude an area from destructive sampling, which soil falls into that category, in the middle for stem mapping associated with some of our biodiversity measurements. And so when we go out to do soil sampling, we're taking 3 random locations from within that plot to get our measurements. And sometimes we have to take a couple of cores per sampling location in order to have sufficient material to do the number of analyses that are required. So that's just to give you a little bit more of an idea of what that looks like out there. And then to mention again that our soil samples are co-located with many other measurements that are going on as part of NEON, either at the scale of the plot, so all of our plant tissue measurements are co-located with the soil sampling at that level, but then at the scale of the site, we're co-located with all of the organismal sampling that's going on, as well as measurements at the tower. So just to give you an idea of how that kind of comes into place. So finally, our surface water sampling. In some cases, these sites are in line with where we're making terrestrial observations. In others, they're separate sites altogether, but we're making measurements of groundwater at a couple of wells per site and then making surface water measurements every 2 weeks at each one of our aquatic sites, and those are the constituents that we're doing. And you can see there's a strong emphasis on carbon and nitrogen as the constituents that we're following through the ecosystems, but in the soils, we're also going to get profiles on cations and anions. We're doing phosphorus fractions, and we're doing carbon fractions as well. So measuring the same constituents across systems, we've got that in line to a better degree now. We're collecting these data so that they can be used to validate the airborne data that are being collected as part of our airborne observation platform that Mike mentioned. So there does have to be that collaboration with our colleagues in the airborne group. And then to the degree that I could convince folks to do so, we are getting some measurements of processes, but there are some major things that we just can't do as part of this design. Soil water being one of them, trace gases another, and that's a real opportunity for the community to come in too. And then this is just to say that we're going to have aggregated data products, and we've got ecosystem modelers that are working with us to provide predictions of gridded variables across at the continental scale, so soil carbon being one of those. And the ecosystem modeler that's working with us is using NCAR's community land model, CLM. So finally, this is just to summarize. Sort of opportunities that exist are looking at biogeochemical gradients at multiple scales within a site, across a number of sites, at the continental scale. We're trying to understand trends in ecosystem impact or recovery, so we really have to take the long view with the data that NEON is collecting. 1 year of data won't tell us very much, but we hope that 30 years will. There are opportunities to ask questions like, how do we integrate measurements that reflect different spatial and temporal scales to understand long-term trends in biogeochemical cycles? That's something that we need both observations and models to do. And then I really think there's an opportunity for the community to come in, especially with respect to the biogeochemistry, to do some more detailed process-based research and to make some of the measurements like soil water and trace gas fluxes that just are not part of our design right now. So I'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Except for that, see, that I don't know, honestly, for rainfall, I have no idea why they're putting on that. I mean, I can understand that in covariance measure or something, but.
Right. So the question is about some of the temporal resolution of our sensor data, and I'm going to, Mike and Ed are part of the sensor group that's collecting those measurements, and you can probably speak to the requirements.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure about what's driving the rainfall one. I'm also looking into it more. But as far as, yeah, like you said, any covariance for soil,
so you just don't have that kind of dynamic. It'll be, so that one's actually